SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Or a dose, Carver High. We get into the middle hour here on C2C on a terrible towel Tuesday, and we start with the Eagles lying to the public about their quarterback.
Yeah, so let's hear the latest on this. So Sirianni and Jalen Hurts and all the Eagle people spoke to the media today. Sirianni says that there's a chance Jalen Hurts could play this week against the Cowboys, and he is not going to rule him out. Hurts also spoke, Scotty, and he sat there and basically said he thinks he's going to play. Now, yesterday we had all the stories about the shoulder injury. He's going to miss a couple of weeks. Blah, blah, blah. Is this just smoke by the Eagles, or is he actually going to play? I think personally, Scotty, it's just smoke. Lines moved back down to 5.5. It was 6 yesterday when we got the news.
Yeah, I think he's not playing at this point. I don't see the point of it. If he's got a sprained shoulder, throwing shoulder, you put him out there against maybe the best pass rushing defense in the NFL with Parsons and company. I mean, they have been Sid Vicious attacking the quarterback, right? So what are you going to let him sit in there and get his head taken off and land on that shoulder? Season over, playoffs over. Super Bowl chances over. It makes no sense to me. The guy's injured. Don't play him. Gardner Minshew's a good player. The Eagles are on top of the division by 2 games. So be it. Lose the game. It's not the end of the world. Go down there with Gardner Minshew and win that game, and that's all she wrote. And the guy can flat-out play. Let's not kid ourselves. Minshew can sling it, and he's not in there to lose. This guy plays his ass off. And I think it hurts their running game. I mean, Hurts is an incredible running quarterback that breaks free and does it all the time. He had, the multiple touchdowns this week in Chicago. The one up the middle was unbelievable. They're going to lose that. Gardner Minshew does not run the ball. He throws the ball. So it's going to be a different Eagles offense. But if that guy's throwing it and they got Smith and Brown and Goddard's back, Christ, I got to tell you, I like their chances to win the game even with Minshew.
It stays around that 5.5-6 number. I'm with you. I think I'm going to take the points with the Eagles Saturday in Dallas. I mean, we've watched the Cowboys the last couple of weeks lose in Jacksonville, barely beat the Texans at home. I know they blew out the Colts in the fourth quarter, but they were losing in the third quarter in that game before the Colts handed them 30 points in the fourth quarter. They haven't been impressive the last few weeks. They're not going to blow the Eagles out with Gardner Minshew at quarterback by more than 7. I don't see that at all. So I'm leaning with you. I like Eagles.
Me neither.
Minshew also. Minshew was not with the team today, Scotty. He was excused. He is speaking at the memorial for Mike Leach today down in Mississippi. So Minshew will be back with the Eagles tomorrow. He did get excused from the team. He'll be back there. Listen, Minshew is not going to hurt them. Can't run. He could throw. Getting Goddard back, they'll be in good shape. Every Tuesday, I give you the betting. He can play. Every Tuesday, I give you the betting update. We are now 15 weeks in the books, heading into week number 16. Still, underdog, Scotty, 56% against the spread. And that underdogs of 3 or more points now, 62% on the season. 83-50-1, and unders at 55%. 123, 100, and 1 push. Your betting update after 15 weeks.
Well, I mean, it's just, to me, it's unbelievable. So, you got a few weeks left here. Dog day afternoon. I mean, look for good dogs and look for good dogs with that hook. Like the 3 and a hook I laid with Minnesota, Giants. The Colts, the hook covered. Look for that hook to be a problem. You talk about that Falcons 7.5. Look for that hook or buy it back at the very least because dogs are covering at a 56 clip and a 62 clip of more than 3 points. That's all you need to know. If you see something 3.5 to, anything over that, 7.5, you know, these. And then I pounced on 14.5 with the Texans. That covered. What was it? The 17 against the Texans. That covered. I mean, it's Cowboys, it's just one cover after the next for dogs. Dog day afternoon.
We welcome in all of our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast, Sirius XM 159, Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have you with us. Best teams against the spread after 15 weeks. Bengals now 11-3 against the number. The best team in the NFL. Lions and the Giants are 10-4 against the spread. Niners are 9-5. And then you get a bunch of teams with 8 after that. But Bengals, Lions, Giants, Scotty, 3 best teams against the number this year.
So, you know, the middle of that, the Mendoza line in the middle of that, you know, rap sheet you just put up there, I'm just going to chop it off. Cut it in half. Go from the Niners up and bet on those four teams and make yourself a little bit of a chump change. I mean, bottom line is that. I'm not betting on the Titans every week. They lose every week. So the Titans, the reason they're on that list is because they covered 7 straight weeks and they haven't covered since.
On the list of the worst teams against the number, Bucks, 3-10-1. And here's what makes the Bucks even worse. They covered the first 2 weeks, Scotty. So they're 1-10-11 their last 12 games against the number. Bears bad, Saints bad, Bills and Chiefs also don't cover, as we know. So there you go. Worst team against the number.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High, straight to the 10. And there is one thing I want to talk about when we do the NBA is that double ejection by Kidd and Luka last night. So don't let me forget. I got a strong feeling about that. I got to be honest with you. But let's start with those Cavs. All they do is win at home.
Don't worry. I'm going to have Kidd for you on that. He was not happy last night after getting thrown out of that game. Let's start with the Cavs. They beat the Jazz 122-99. Donovan Mitchell playing his former team. Feels good to beat the Jazz. Here he is.
It was good, man. You know, like I said this morning, man, it's always good to play against your guys and have fun. You know, I think the bigger game will probably be when we go back out there. But as a whole, for a group, as a team, we played really well. We did a lot of really good things collectively. Obviously, we shot the ball really well, but defensively, holding another team under a team like this who can shoot the ball really well, can score under 100 points, we did a lot of things that we can point to and look back at and say this is what we want to be as a team. But, you know, for me, you know, like I said, it was just a lot of fun just being out there playing against guys I've been playing with and coaching staff that I've been with my whole career and really helped me grow to be who I am today. So it was fun.
It was very special. I have to tell you, I always loved you. You've always been there for me since the beginning. And you shaped me into the man that I am. I loved everything about Utah except the religion.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Whatever.
76ers blew a big lead to the Raptors, but were able to hold on in overtime, 104-101. Tobias Harris, Scotty, on NBC Sports Philadelphia, draining the three.
Tucker. Pardon me. Harris. Fifth triple tonight for Tobias Harris. 21 and counting.
Very exciting for the Sixers. They didn't cover.
They did not, but they didn't cover. But Doc Rivers says a win is a win is a win, Scotty. And Doc is always happy when he gets those. Here he is.
Yeah, you know, listen, everybody blows leads in this league. That lead was blown by fourth quarter beginning. So we won the game. I celebrate that. Like, I'm not going to get into that. We won the game. And we should focus on the positive stuff. Like, our guys fought. We didn't have it. We missed wide open shots tonight. Wide open shots. And so when you do that, the other team's probably at some point going to make a run. And, you know, a lot of teams, when they make a run, go the other way. We just hung in there. They got a lead on us. How about talking about us coming back? We actually were down by 8 down the stretch. And to me, that should be celebrated.
You know what is celebrated here from my end is that they never win anything that matters.
No.
Let's just be clear. It's been since 1983. I was a freshman in college. I'm now an old man, okay? So I've heard all I can take about the Philadelphia 76ers. They just never get it done. That's what I know for a fact.
That's what we all know for a fact. They never win. Hawks did beat the Magic last night, 126-125. They needed a couple free throws from Murray final second to get it done. Nate McMillan not holding anything back. We were lucky to win.
We just got to show growth, you know. We've got to finish games. It's a 48-minute game, and I thought we started
City.
To relax.
He's got a peach
in that fourth
on.
Quarter, late in that fourth quarter. And, you know, one play can change the momentum of a game. And we just got to show growth. We got to show growth and plan a 48-minute game. And when you have a lead or you're behind, understanding how to finish that game. And tonight, I thought we were we got lucky. We really got lucky. You know, had some turnovers, had technical foul. We didn't get stops. And we really just got lucky tonight.
Thank God that ended. I mean, it was just, I was starting to, fade off there at the end.
Well,
I was nodding.
It was his shirt.
Like, honestly,
shirt
how long can
so
I listen
bright.
To Nate McMillan?
The shirt was bright and it was getting to you and you were looking at his shirt.
Yeah.
And that was also kind of putting you in a bit of a trance.
I got vertigo.
Spurs beat the Rockets 124-105. Let's get to the T-Wolves and the Mavs. T-Wolves beat the Mavs 116-106.
Oh, here we go.
Luka and Kidd were both ejected from the game. This is Jason Kidd's entire post-game press conference, Scotty. The entire thing. It's only about 20 seconds long. Here it is.
All right. I'm here because I have to be here. So I already gave up money, so I don't want to give up any more. No questions. Just we'll go back and look at the tape, see how we can get better. They were a better team tonight, and we'll go from there. Thanks for showing up.
Okay. Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks.
All right, here's the deal. Here's what I think. So I've always told you that the refs in the NBA are literally the worst in all of sports. The worst. I don't care what anybody says. It's all about power tripping, ego. I got all the cards. I'm going to show you, right? So here's the deal. No one ever plays in the NBA. Guys take off, you know, 3 out of every 4 games. They never play. They need rest. They need hotels. They need, you know, Four Seasons, Ritz-Carlton. They need Bentleys. They need a ride. If they're 2 blocks from the arena, they need a ride to the arena. Because they don't want to feel wind on their face. And we know how soft they all are with their, you know, needs, the NBA players. But I have to tell you, they never play. So when they do play and I spend $1,000 going to the game, the last thing I want to see is some fat scum ref throw out the superstar player that I want to watch for my $1,000. I come to watch Luka Doncic play. I don't really care if you throw Jason Kidd out. He's the coach. You cannot throw out superstar players because of your ego, you fat-ass scum ref. First of all, the call was so atrocious to begin with. Second of all, he ejected him. People pay $1,000 to go watch that guy play basketball. No one pays to watch the fat scum ref run up and down the floor and make crappy calls all night because that's all they ever do. So when they never play, and then all of a sudden they do play, and I pay $1,000 to go see them play, can you not throw out the superstar player? How about you just throw the coach out?
Bad job, as usual, by the officials.
Honestly.
They suck. They suck.
They're the worst.
They are so bad.
And the NFL's second worst.
Yes. Bucks beat the Pelicans last night. The Thunder beat the Trailblazers, Scotty. How about a little SGA at the buzzer on Bally Sports?
Here's where the Thunder catch this. Shea gets it, spins away, baseline shot. Shea puts it in and walks it off in OKC. Kissing the Blazers goodnight.
Very exciting.
It was very exciting. And finally, the Suns hammered the Lakers last night, 130 to 104. I'm not even going to waste my time listening to this guy, Darvin Ham, Scotty, make excuses, basically like, give the Suns lots of credit. You know, they didn't have Booker tonight. And, I, you know, you didn't have LeBron. Nobody had anybody because it's the NBA.
AD.
You lost by 30, bro. I mean, honestly, you lost by 30 and they didn't have Booker. And you know, just because you didn't have your guys either, that doesn't make any excuse. The NBA is awful sometimes.
No one ever plays.
The Suns will be sold. Sarver's going to sell to billionaire Matt Ishbia for around $4 billion, Scotty. $4 billion for the Phoenix Suns and Mercury. Get Sarver out.
Well, I'm just interested to see what this guy ends up being in terms of dirty laundry. Because every owner now in sports has got something going on, and every billionaire in the world is doing something dirty. I mean, the guy at FTX, that guy's going to jail for the rest of his life. I mean, Sarver's a racist. You know, we got plenty of those in the NBA. I wonder what this guy's going to do. Maybe the child traffic? Who knows? I mean, what will be the next big story?
Matt was a walk-on at Michigan State, played for Tom Izzo, was on the 2000 Spartan National
Team. He's always worked hard, Mike. He's always been a hard worker.
He's always worked hard.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
So, introducing BetMGM's 12 Days of Giveaways. BetMGM players are going to receive a daily reward login when they go in during the 12 Days of Giveaways promotion. So, our Day 7 offer. BetMGM players are going to receive an NHL risk-free bet reward of Day 7 of 12 Days of Giveaways. Open to any NHL bet, minus 200 odds or greater. How to get this offer in three easy steps. One, log on to BetMGM Sportsbook app on iOS or Android today and receive an NHL risk-free bet. Two, open to any NHL bet, minus 200 odds or greater. Three, if the bet loses, your free bets will be reflected once the wager is settled. You're styling. Day 7 of the 12 Days of Giveaways with BetMGM Carver High. It is just fantastic. It's The Lion's Share brought to you by BetMGM.
I am logging in right now to get my NHL free bet for today, Scotty. A couple of NHL games tonight. We can get ourselves involved. That's what I like to see. It is time for The Lion's Share brought to you by BetMGM.
They have constant things. I mean, these BetMGM, the giveaways, the promotions. It's just constant. It's every. I'm drowning in their promotion. They do so much for their customers, it's not even funny. Yep. And the rest of them can have a sandwich.
On Tuesdays here on Coast to Coast during football season, we, of course, have had College Football Tuesdays for the Lion's Share. Last week, we did the first 10 bowl games. We're through those. We will now do the next 10 bowl games for the rest of this week, Scotty, starting tonight in Boca. We have the Boca Raton Bowl between Liberty and Toledo, the Rockets out of the MAC. As of right now, up to the minute line, Toledo minus 3.5, 51.5 is the total in Boca.
Oh, they stopped him on fourth down at the goal line,
Eastern
Michigan.
Oh, the potato game.
Let's go. What a stop. What a stop. I thought the third down play was a brilliant stop after the kid caught the ball on the flat. He's going right in for a touchdown, and some guy lit him up from out of nowhere. And then on fourth down, they tripped up the running back and stopped him. 13-9, great game. That's a huge stop. I'll tell you what, they played three times before, and Toledo beat them all three times they played them. I'm going back to the well with Toledo against Liberty.
Tomorrow night, I like the over tonight, by the way, that 51.5. I think we'll get some points, Toledo and Liberty down there in Boca. Tomorrow night, we have the New Orleans Bowl. They are at the Dome, Scotty, the Caesars Superdome in New Orleans for Western Kentucky and South Alabama. South Alabama, minus 4, 57 is the total. I love them Hilltoppers. They've been good to me this year, getting that four. I love them Hilltoppers.
I mean, honestly, I'm on the four, too. All they do is score, and all they do is go up and down the field and put the ball in the end zone. I love the Hilltoppers.
Thursday night, we have ourselves the Armed Forces Bowl. This will be down in Fort Worth, Texas, between Air Force and Baylor. So that crew from Waco just got to drive themselves over to Fort Worth, Scotty, for this one on Thursday night. Baylor -4 against the Falcons. The low total of 43 in this game.
I think there's another over, and I like Baylor.
I think this is another over as well. I am with you. I think that they're going to score some points. Air Force is going to be able to run the football. Should be a fun one. Next, how about Friday afternoon, December the 23rd, the Independence Bowl, a classic, Scotty, as always, down in Shreveport. They always come out for the Independence Bowl. The Raging Cajuns of Louisiana will be there, and Dana Holgorsen and Houston will be there as well. Houston -7, 57 is the total.
How do you not take the Cajuns in Louisiana getting a touchdown? I mean, Houston is piked all season long. Holgorsen's team has been trash. I don't buy them at all. Louisiana playing in their home state. Let's go, Shreveport. Timmy Brando, the governor, will be there.
The governor, no question. I like the Raging Cajuns getting the 7. Houston, they haven't covered a number all year. I mean, all year they've been favorites. They haven't been able to get it done in these games. Why not just finish it off strong and not cover in the bowl game either?
Yeah.
Next, Friday night, after that game, you have the Gasparilla Bowl.
Keep failing for everyone. We love it.
Friday night. The Gasparilla Bowl, this is at Raymond James in Tampa, and will feature Wake Forest against Missouri. So here we go, a little ACC-SEC Friday night down in Tampa. Wake Forest -1, 58.5 is the total. I don't believe Hartman's playing for Wake Forest, Scotty.
Yeah, well, then they're going to lose. And I was going to bet on Missouri even if Hartman was playing. And you know I love Hartman, but I just think Wake Forest sucks. And Missouri is tough. They play everyone tough. They're a problem. And they're the only team that gave Georgia a game all year. So I think, besides Kent State, by the way, Kent State gave Georgia a game too, if you remember, in Athens. I'm going to go with Missouri in this bet. I think they'll win the game outright.
Next, Saturday night, a Christmas Eve tradition unlike any other. Yes, you have the Raiders and the Steelers on Saturday night. But just in case it's halftime, Scotty, and you want to flip over, the Hawaii Bowl always entertains on Christmas Eve. And this year, you get Middle Tennessee State and the Aztecs of San Diego State on the islands for the 8 o'clock Eastern kickoff. Aztecs -7, 49.5.
I mean, it's literally like a 16-hour flight from Tennessee to Hawaii. So San Diego State is 3 hours. And Gunner, by the way, still in the running at San Diego State in terms of, do I go to Cali to tap hot surfer girls for a living in college, or do I freeze my ass off in Indiana going to IU just because my dad went there? San Diego State's still getting a tip of the weighted scale, and there might be room for surfboards and copper tone smelling chicks. Give me the Aztecs. Easy roll over Middle Tennessee. Go, San Diego State.
I'm on the Aztecs as well. All right, Monday afternoon, you wake up, day after Christmas, you're like, what's the first thing on the board today, baby? How about the Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit at Ford Field? This year we have New Mexico State and Bowling Green will be How did these two teams make a bowl? -3.5 for the Falcons. 47.5 is the total.
No way. I just will not do that. Thank you. Next.
Tuesday, a week from today. So we're going to have Coast to Coast next week. A lot of these games will be on Tuesday. Let's start with the Camellia Bowl in Montgomery, Alabama. We will have Georgia Southern against Buffalo. Buffalo getting the 3.5 from Georgia Southern at the Camellia Bowl.
I used to swim with a chick named Camellia in the mornings. She was pretty cool. And who are the teams playing in this game?
Buffalo and Georgia Southern.
I'll tell you what, Georgia Southern's been a tough team all year for Clay Helton, right? What are they getting? Are they laying?
They're laying 3.5.
I like Georgia Southern.
Also on Tuesday, 3:00 Eastern kickoff, so we'll be very involved in the First Responder Bowl. This is down in Dallas, Memphis and Utah State. Memphis minus the 7.5. Here we go, a fat total for once. Give me some points. 61.5 down here for the First Responder Bowl.
Give me the over.
We'll take the over. I like it. Next, we have the Birmingham Bowl, which, of course, is in Alabama. So let's get the two teams from Carolina to head on over to Birmingham. Coastal Carolina, not going to have their quarterback, not going to have their coach. East Carolina, the Pirates had a very good season, Scotty. They are laying 7.5 against Coastal. 62.5 is the total.
So Grayson McCall is not playing. You're sure?
We double check with Grayson, but I believe he's gone in the portal and he's going to say goodbye.
Okay, well then I'm on East Carolina all day. All day. Coastal Carolina without that guy playing, absolute hairdryer city. East Carolina will kick their ass.
Well, and if you remember, we did the story last week about the backup quarterback who also was having a bad day. Didn't he get picked up for something, throwing somebody around?
Yeah, he slammed his girlfriend down with a full people's elbow.
Real nice guy. Real nice guy. And finally, next Tuesday, late night game for you, the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. This is at Chase Field in Phoenix, home of the Diamondbacks. And this is where it starts to turn, Scotty. You'll notice when we do this next week, this is when we're going to start to get into the heavies are going to start going. Oklahoma State and Wisconsin in Arizona, the Badgers minus 3, 43 is the total.
Yeah, Oklahoma State, Gundy's team, down a stretch was absolutely like a balloon letting air out, okay? So I'm on Wisconsin here. Give me whiskey.
Give you whiskey. I'm going to be on whiskey as well in that game. Two programs who did not finish the year very well. So there you go. Lion's share. Next 10 college football bowl games. I'm already looking. Next Tuesday, Scotty, that's when it really starts to hit for us. Because starting next Wednesday is when you get all the Power 5 teams, the college football playoff games we're going to have to talk about next week. We really start to open it up and we get away from the San Jose States and Eastern Michigan.
Hey, listen, this is a great game right now.
They're playing a great game right now.
They got the ball at the San Jose 11, 3rd and 4. They need a first down. Forget about the touchdown right now. Get the first down and then go and goal. They take the lead in this game. They were down 13-2.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Elvis has entered the building. Denny Bernstein of the Fourth Period and NHL Radio is our NHL insider on Sports Grid and Coast to Coast. Good friend of ours. Always a pleasure. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all rolled into one. Denny, good to see you. I want to start with this. The Carolina Hurricanes tonight can pass the New Jersey Devils. They both have 44 points. They're playing them in Raleigh. And I think the Canes have had points in 11 straight. I mean, they're playing good hockey right now. And the Devils are not playing good hockey. They've been losing left and right all of a sudden. It seems like they've hit a wall. You think that happens tonight in Raleigh?
Yeah. Well, I picked the Canes to win the Cup. And so I'm not surprised at the run they're on. And they're doing it with defense. And they don't score a lot. So their Achilles heel, once they get to the postseason, is going to be offense. So that's my concern. Now, Max Pacioretty is going to come back at some point from Achilles. I assume they're going to add another scorer at the deadline. They're an excellent team. The Devils, look, you're playing 800-level hockey percentage-wise. It's not going to be sustainable, except for maybe Boston, Scotty. They They're on track for 138 points. So it's not surprising that the Devils came back to the pack. Plus, Rangers, Hurricanes, Pittsburgh, even Washington's on a little bit of a run now. That's going to be – that's the best division in hockey. It's going to be down close down the stretch. The Devils are better. Are they an 82-game division winner? I'm not sure yet, because the run they were on to start the season just wasn't sustainable.
So the Devils have lost five in a row. Carolina's won five in a row, 9-0-1 in 10. It's all you need to know. And then Pittsburgh was hot, and then they finally lost. They're 7-2-1 in their last 10. But the Rangers have won seven in a row, and tonight the Rangers play the Penguins at PPG. Do the Rangers make it eight in a row?
Yeah, the way they're playing right now, if they play tonight like they played the last seven, yeah, because their stars started waking up. And they can go back to the point where Jacob Trouba threw his helmet against the boards, got thrown out of the game. They haven't lost a game since. So when their star players are playing this way, and the same thing for Pittsburgh, Scotty, if your stars are producing, you're going to win games in this league. The Rangers are right now. Remember, Panarin was cold, couldn't score a goal. Kreider wasn't scoring as well. But when he starts scoring, when Panarin starts distributing, when Zibanejad hits the net, and when Shesterkin starts playing like the Shesterkin of last season in net, they're going to get hot. It's as simple as that. They should be one of the favorites to emerge from the East. It was a tough run they had there for about 10 or 12 games. But again, their stars elevated, just like Pittsburgh. So this is a great – there's three game, great games tonight, Scotty. You mentioned two of them, and the third one is Tampa and Toronto in Toronto. These are excellent teams. I think this is a 3-2 game in Pittsburgh going down to the wire, probably overtime. But I think at this point, yeah, I like the Rangers right now because they're playing a little bit better than the Penguins are.
The Penguins had won seven in a row, and they lost in Carolina. I bet on them to win that game at even money. They were up 2-1 with 10 minutes to go, and then they gave up two goals and lost. So I actually love the way they're playing right now as well, to be honest with you. So the Leafs, you mentioned the Leafs. That game tonight in Toronto is delicious. I mean, that could very well be a playoff series, a deep playoff series. I think Toronto's fantastic. Now, I understand everyone's trepidation with this team. They fail like no other in the postseason. It's inexplicable how they seem to coif it up every year in the playoffs when they're so loaded and so talented. When I watch them play, Denny, they are lethal. They're dangerous. They're fast. They move the puck well. They get a lot of great chances, scoring opportunities from in close, circles in the slot, low slot. They're dangerous. They are a dangerous team that can beat anyone. And here's Tampa still being tough. It's crazy how you just can't get them to ever not be good.
Yeah. Well, with the special release, look who they have up front. They've got Marners, Matthew, Tavares, Nylander. They should be good, Scotty. They should be at the top of the division. Like, yeah, Matt Murray's a nice story, and Samsonov and net. We'll see about that. The defense probably needs to add because it's really banged up. And, you know, Tampa Bay, look, they don't care if they finish first, second, eighth. As long as they're in the playoffs, they're supremely confident. And remember, even though they lost last season in the cup final, they've gone three consecutive years, and they're going to play like this. Vasilevskiy's going to be better, and Sergachev's been their best defenseman, not even Victor Hedman. This is, again, this is a dangerous veteran team that doesn't panic, that doesn't care what they finish. They say, you know what? Give us a matchup. We'll beat that team. So if they're going to stay healthy, Scotty, look, I love Carolina coming out of the East, but it wouldn't totally shock me if for a fourth consecutive season you saw Tampa Bay Lightning in the cup final.
Oh, Christ. I mean, honestly, I can't have it. I there's got to be some kind of, you know, changing of the guard. Honestly, it just can't be the
statue
same thing
of limitations. Let's go.
Statue of limitations. It's a bad thing for business if just the same teams are always playing. I can't take it. Like the Patriots with all their Super Bowls, I just can't take it every year. Like they'd be like, Pharrell, you're going to the Super Bowl. And all I ever do is talk about the Tom Brady for 2 weeks. I can't take it anymore. I really can't. How about the Sabres? I was mentioning it to you before you came on that I was this close, and I wanted to pull the trigger on that $1.58 last night in Vegas. I was on that game and on Arizona's game because of the price. I took the Arizona game at $1.25. They lost to Montreal 3-2. I didn't bet on the Sabres. I should have because Vegas has lost 6-7 going in at home. Now 7-8, Yeah. Buffalo beat them. They've won four straight. How about this young Sabre team?
Guys, not just the Sabres. You, like, road teams are live bets this year. Like, most of these teams are good. They're really good on the road and bet at home. And with Sabres, they're not like a – unlike a couple of other teams. When they get on a roll, you got to play them. You have to, because they're hot. When they get hot, the problem is if a team like St. Louis gets cold and you're still on them, you're going to be losing money. But here's the thing with Buffalo, this guy, Tage Thompson, has 25 goals in his last 25 games. Like, that's crazy. It's insane. He had a great season last season, 37 goals or something like that. And then he had one goal in his first seven games, and he has not stopped. He's put seven. His slap shot, if you saw the TNT game a couple of weeks ago, registered at 100 miles an hour. And he's big, but he can move in tight. He has been a fantastic player. But when the team gets defense and goaltending, they win games. It's simple as that. They're going to score. They're the highest scoring team in the league, Scotty. So we talk about Tampa and Pittsburgh and Florida and all these other teams in Vegas. Buffalo Sabres are the highest scoring team in the NHL. Because of Tage Thompson, Jeff Skinner's bounced back. They are an exciting team, but you got to get them on a roll. Because some nights they don't play defense. The goaltending isn't good enough, and that's why they're out of the playoffs right now, because they're a 500 team. They're such a streaky team, but they're not the only team that's streaky in this league. There are a lot of teams. You mentioned Vegas. They're under 500 at home. What happened to the Vegas flu? Remember, oh, teams are going to go in there, party all night, you know, at the Caesars and not be ready. Well, these teams are ready, and Vegas is like 14-2-1 on the road. So maybe getting out of Vegas is a good thing for these NHL teams.
I mean, they are. They're 14-2-1 away from Sin City and 8-9 at home. I mean, that is crazy. You can't even make it up. Like, it affects everyone. So you're telling me road teams go in there and they have a hard time with the bright lights and all the tail in the casinos and all the hookers and all the drinking and gambling. And then you got to – you got to seal them off and put them in a room and lock the door and not let them out, the animals. You can't let the animals go rogue in the casino, because nothing but trouble. Because you know me, Denny, when I'm down at the bar with Carver High and there's some things going on down in there that are scrupulous, I am all in. I've been there with you. I was buying you tequila, and I could have been in trouble in less than 30 seconds. Do you think that it's better off to get away from there for them? Obviously, with their record, do you think it affects them playing at home? That's why they suck?
I think teams get too comfortable at home. So I think that's part of it. And the other thing is that Vegas is in the secret anymore. Like, you're going to get up for those games. And I think that the prep for the games, if you go there pregame, they have this lavish game night presentation. I think teams get up to play this team. And now Pietrangelo's been out and Eichel's been out too. That's not help. I think teams are motivated to go in. And Vegas, I think that also they take teams for granted. They think, okay, we're going to go out here. And historically, Scotty, they've been a great home team. I think this season they think they can go out there and throw their gloves and sticks on the ice and just win a game. And they can't do it. And that's been a trouble for this team. If they had a good road record, they would win the Pacific easily. But now it's a horse race because they've been terrible at home.
Are you going to that Ducks-Kings game tonight at the Crypto? And why are your Kings so good? They're right there in second place behind Vegas. As far as I'm concerned, that's a victory in itself.
Well, they're not that good, Scott. They've been really inconsistent. Like, they played in Buffalo last week. Nothing going in the third. They gave up six goals in the third period.
Yeah.
I've hardly seen that. So, but what they do, Scotty, is they score. And I think that was part of the issue last year. They weren't a good offensive team. They hurt it all summer. You can't score. That's why you lost to Edmonton in the playoffs. So they went out and get Kevin Fiala, who's an exceptional skilled player, who's really galvanized the offense. They've been better on the power play. Kids like Gabe Vilardi and Kaliev have emerged, but they haven't played a lot of defense, and they're trying to figure out the defense. But now the whole thing behind that is Phoenix Copley. Yeah, I didn't say that wrong. Phoenix Copley is going to start his fourth consecutive game tonight for the Kings in net. Not Jonathan Quick, not Cal Peterson, who's now in the minors because he's played so poorly. If they ever figure out the goaltending and defense, they got a shot to win the division because they're right there. They're 6 points behind Vegas, road team. So, but the offense is better. They're more an entertaining team. But, you know, Scotty, they've lost game 6-0. They've lost game 7-6. They lost the 9-8 game. They have to figure out better defense and better decision-making on defense. If they do that, the Pacific's wide open. It's clearly the worst division in hockey right now. Vegas has opened the doors for teams like Seattle and L.A. I'm crazy that I'm saying Seattle. And those are the two teams. And Edmonton and Calgary might wake up at some point in time, but it's not been a great division so far, 32 games into the season.
Are you ready for the Winter Classic at Fenway?
I've been to the Winter Classic back in 2010 when they first started doing it. And Scotty, I'll tell you my story about the Winter Classic. Like before, the day before, I got a private tour, got to go inside the Green Monster, right? For game day, B-1 bomber flies over. I turn to my wife, I go, you know what? I was inside the Green Monster just for the B-1 bomber flyover. Who cares about the game? Let's go home. So I didn't leave before the game started, but it's a great, it's a hockey game. It'll be great. It'll be fun. Fans that go there, remember, you're not seeing a hockey game. You're seeing part of history. Right, because the field is too far away, the seats are small, Fenway. It's a great setting and just a great brand with respect to the Winter Classic. I will be going to the outdoor game in Raleigh between the Hurricanes and Capitals in February.
Lastly, Tortorella, is he going to survive this? They're losing. They stink. Players hate him. He's benched Hayes. It sounds to me like mutiny.
Except for one thing, Scotty. 4-year contract. He's got a 4-year contract, Tortorella. He's not
so what?
He'll outlast the GM.
So what?
He'll outlast the GM. Yeah, no, Scotty. You don't want to pay. You don't know what's happening now? No coach has been fired in the NHL. You know why? I don't think teams want to start paying two coaches because you have to bring in, if you fire Tortorella, you got to bring in a big name. So John's making, what, $4 million? So you're going to probably have to double that to play your coaches. I don't think teams are going to do that. You're right. He is alienating veteran players. He does that all the time. But the kids who are trying to make a name of it in the NHL are scared, and they listen. They do have more structure to the game. They do play harder. But, yeah, this is the problems that he runs into where he benches a player making $7 million a year, and not a talk is they might buy him out, which isn't really feasible.
All right, Denny, I love you. Thanks. Killer skinny today, my man. Happy holidays.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for Today in Carver High History.
It certainly is. How about 1940 today? Connie Mack acquires controlling interest in the Athletics for $42,000. How about that? 1960, Charlie Finley buys 52% of the A's from the late Arnold Johnson's estate. 73, Canadians' Henry Richard has his 1,000th career point. 81, Winnipeg's Doug Smail sets an NHL record by scoring 4 seconds into the game. Fastest goal from an opening faceoff in NHL history, 81. Guy Lafleur of the Canadiens, 10th player to score 500 goals. 1985, there he is. Hall of Famer, number 5, Denny Potvin, passes Bobby Orr, all-time leading scorer for NHL defenseman with 916.
Bossy scores!
He just did.
There it is. That's number 495 in the great career of Michael Bossy, and he scores at 338.
I think Dennis Potvin got the assist, too.
And that's it. Sure. The entire Islander team is on the ice. Potvin's getting an assist, the record-breaking assist on the 21st goal of the season.
Wow, your boy Potvin. Now he's selling socks.
He sure is. Also in 85, Howard Cosell retires from television after 20 years with ABC. 92, Buck Williams, 20th player in NBA history with 10,000 boards. 2001, Chick Hearn missed the Laker-Rocket game while recovering from heart surgery. His streak of 3,000-plus games over 36 years finished. 2005, Kobe dropped 62 on the Mavericks. Through three quarters, the Mavs only had 61 as a team. 2006, the first occurrence of the Trent Tucker rule came into play with David Lee. 2017, the Rays trade franchise cornerstone Evan Longoria to the Giants for 4 players. How did that go for the Giants? Not great. Not great.
Yeah, like they showed, I saw a story today that he's one of the hot commodities in free agency that's available still.
Hot
I'm like,
commodity.
I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Hot commodity, indeed. Evan Longoria.
Please.